Hello and welcome to In the Spotlight with Quo Circa, the definitive podcast on digital disruption in the print industry. I'm Luella Fernandez, director of Quo Circa, and today I'm very pleased to be joined by Mike Feldman, president of America Operations and Global Document Services at Xerox. Today we'll be discussing opportunities in the smart connected workplace. So welcome, Mike. It's great to have you here today.
Thanks, Luella. Great to be with you.
So maybe if we could start by just telling us a bit about your role at Xerox and also touch on some of the recent changes in organization as well.
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. So I lead the Americas operations. I've been doing that since 2017. So this is really a go-to-market and sales, but also includes a customer service and delivery that we deploy to our customers as well. Just recently, I was asked to also pick up our global document services portfolio. So this is really the offering teams that are designing all of the solutions for things like managed print services and content management and digitization and customer communications. So I just picked that up about a month ago. It is something I've done before. When I first joined Xerox 8 years ago, I was managing that team. So it's a little bit of back to the future for me. And I'll do that plus my Americas role. So I'm excited about that. But in addition to that, the company made some other announcements that were really, really exciting. One is our Xerox Financial Services. We call this XFS. Everything starts with an X at Xerox. So this holds true here as well. And this primarily has been a leasing organization for our hardware when we're selling services to our customers. But we're really now looking to stand this up as its own business and make it into a global payments organization. So much more than just leasing, much more than just leasing Xerox hardware. You know, think about financial and leasing services that can transpire the entire office environment and multi-vendor as well. In fact, we just signed Lexmark up as a global partner for us for this business. So that was one of the three businesses we announced. The second one was around software. As you probably know, we already have a growing software business. We have a number of Xerox assets here. One is around content management, which is our DocuShare product. We also have a marketing software asset called XMPie. And then we have for production environments, our workflow automation of providing better workflow for those production types of jobs and making more automation in there. That's called FreeFlow. So we've had these three. They're doing well. They're growing. We just made an acquisition of a company called Care AR, which is an augmented reality company that is really focused on the service industry and transforming how service gets done at the point of care. So we're very excited about that. So we took the Care AR with DocuShare, XMPie, and FreeFlow and created a software business unit. The third thing is really focused around PARC or the Palo Alto Research Center. This is our labs based in California, but we also have labs in New York, in near Rochester, up in Webster, as well as in Toronto and some other places as well. Think of PARC now, not just as Palo Alto, but really all of the innovation and labs of Xerox. And we're working on some very exciting things that we might get into later in this conversation around 3D printing and clean tech and IoT sensors and things like robotic process automation.
It's really good to hear that Xerox has made these changes because we're always talking at Quo Circa about the need for the print industry to adapt and change its approach in the market. And I think, you know, particularly Xerox's focus on software and innovation. So today's topic is really around capitalizing on the opportunities in the smart connected workplace. I was just curious as to what your views are in terms of the office and how that's evolving and also what impact that's had on Xerox as a business over the past year.
Yeah, well, it's funny you mentioned that. You know, I started working in the industry in 1988. And back then, I was selling printers, selling, some kind of desktop printers and things like that. And the talk of the paperless office was in full swing. This is in 1988. And clearly, we never achieved that. And I think the whole death of the office is also over-exaggerated and will not happen. I think, look, these have been unprecedented times with the COVID-19 pandemic that has, you know, reached through the entire world. And we've all been forced to work from home because it wasn't safe to be in the office or to be in restaurants or Broadway shows or things like that. But I think we found that people can be productive at home. Certain jobs certainly can be productive at home. But I think people are very fatigued also by staying in their home and working in their home. They're dealing with, you know, potentially, you know, partners or spouses and kids and a lot of demand for Wi-Fi and a lot less technology in the house as far as printers and large screen monitors and other things that we're accustomed to. And plus, just again, always being in your home and not being out. I think there's a lot to be said about, you know, being in an office, collaborating with your colleagues and coworkers, having impromptu meetings, as opposed to scheduling a Zoom next week for 15 minutes. So I think we've all gotten used to it. We've all had to adapt. But once things start getting relaxed, the vaccines really get out there and we get past this pandemic, people are going to want to go back to the office. Maybe not 100% of the time. Maybe they're going to work from home sometimes. But I think in general, people will want to get back. And as soon as some people do go back and you're the one person working from home, everyone's in a conference room together, but you're on Zoom, it's going to be awkward. Because it, you know, you won't hear everything. You'll miss the stuff that will happen before the meeting and after the meeting. And I think customers, while they've also been very accepting of Zoom kind of meetings, because they also want to be safe. Once we return to somewhat of a normal post-pandemic environment, and your competitors are showing up in front of the customer, you're probably going to need to as well. So yes, I think the death of the office is over-exaggerated. I think we had all of this technology before the pandemic, and we still went to the office. So I think we are going to get back to the office. It might be a little bit less. It might be 3 days a week instead of 5 days a week. You know, clearly, you know, there will be some change, but I don't think there'll be a death of the office for sure.
Yeah, no, I think I totally agree. And I think, you know, absolutely, working from home does help people be productive. And a lot of our research has shown that many home workers believe they're more productive at home than they are in the office. But at the same time, they feel it stifles innovation and creativity. And like you say, you know, those kind of conversations and just that interaction can really be a downside of working from home. So,
And Luella, I would just say they're productive at home while everyone's at home and you're at no disadvantage and we're all talking this way. But again, I have zoomed into a meeting where it's most people are in a conference room. You no longer can see the people the same way. You're just seeing the big conference room. It's hard to see people, sometimes hard to hear. I think it will make things different once some people start going back to the office.
Yeah. So I think this leads us on quite nicely to the next point around the smart connected workplace, because we're seeing a number of trends, obviously the remote working and the hybrid environment of people being working from home as well in the office, but also we're seeing that more organizations are looking to reduce their office footprint, so potentially work out of the main headquarters and fewer satellite offices and so on. So I'm just curious as to what you've seen in terms of your customers following that trend, and how is Xerox helping customers, you know, evolve to that kind of position in terms of managing two different work environments?
Yeah, I think for sure, you know, right now and maybe for all of 2021, we will see this hybrid environment. And again, it could be beyond that as well, several days a week, that type of a thing. Here's what I would say is collaboration and content are king, in my view. People need to collaborate, whether that's face-to-face or through remote means like we're doing today. And they need content. They need information. I think, you know, in the past, you know, we had organization charts in a lot of companies and you worked within your organization chart, reporting up to your manager. I think, you know, the future of a smart workplace is around crowdsourcing, potentially that model where you're bringing together different people from different teams working on a problem. And it's enabled by great content which can turn into real insights and real information with the right technology and great collaboration tools. So I think those are important. Underlying that collaboration and content technology are supporting technologies, things like the cloud, security, digitization, analytics, and sensors. And all of these things are coming together to really make sure that employees, colleagues can work together in the most efficient way. I can remember it wasn't really that long ago. I mean, maybe 5, maybe 7 years ago when people didn't trust the cloud, mm-hmm. right? They really felt like, oh no, I don't want my data in the cloud. Now, I think the general view by most companies I talk to is the cloud is more secure. Mm-hmm. Right. When you're dealing with Amazon with their web services or Microsoft and Azure and others, these companies will spare no budget to make sure that they have the most secure data centers in the world. And they can invest so much more than an individual company who doesn't have always the IT resources, especially in the SMB market. So I think cloud is extremely important. Security is very important. It's always been important, but as more things do become digitized, security is critical. So things like zero trust and SIEM integration so that you can really track and trace what's going on. This is becoming the new norm and the new standard as we see more cybersecurity attacks. More today than ever, unfortunately. Digitization, enabling the content getting to the right place. If things are trapped on paper in a file cabinet somewhere, but your employees are not always on site, or your customers can't come to your store, that's a problem. And you know, I think we have known now for some time, all analog processes will become digital. I mean, just think about our personal lives. Think about our photos and music and magazines and newspapers. Think about how we used to consume that with photo albums, right? Or CDs for music just 10 years ago. And now it's completely digital. That's what's happening in business as well. There is this whole consumerization of IT, and more businesses and their customers are wanting a much more digital experience. It's not to say that print is dead. It's to say that the process should be digital and you should be able to print when you need to print. But you've got to be able to take that content and get it into different types of repositories. You've got to read the documents. And that structured or unstructured data has to become something that is more like information than just sitting there. And it needs to be context aware. Analytics are key. As well, people want to understand what's happening in their environment. And then the last one, that, you know, I'll just mention quickly is sensors. Sensors are becoming more and more important as you walk into a conference room, the lights will go on. With our multifunction devices on our ConnectKey platform, you can walk up to the device will recognize that you are there and turn itself on and reboot if it's in a sleep mode, that type of a thing, it'll wake itself up. So sensors will also become much more important in the workplace as well.
Yeah, no, that's. I think you've touched on some really interesting points there, and the cloud has earned its stripes over the past year. You know, it's really helped organizations stay, you know, operational, you know, big or small. You know, I think, you know, SMBs and large enterprises have really seen the value of cloud. Yep. And as you say, security, the initial concerns around security have pretty much been overcome now because, like you say, AWS, Microsoft Azure, they've kind of mitigated all those potential, you know, risk objections around the cloud. So we really see cloud as a big enabler for digital transformation as we move forward. And also zero trust, you mentioned, I think having zero trust security built in terms of a concept around, you know, MFPs and document collaboration and so on is absolutely vital. So you mentioned these SMBs, and I just wanted to kind of follow up on that. So we really see SMBs as a, you know, a big untapped opportunity, particularly for cloud adoption around cloud printing and document collaboration and so on. How is Xerox helping its channel sort of reach that SMB market? Could you expand on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think everything you just said is exactly correct. You know, SMB customers, these are entrepreneurs that are trying to make money, and they're focused on their business, their product, or their solution. They don't have the resources that large enterprise customers have with big IT departments and things like that. So, and yet they're under even more attack when it comes to viruses and hacks and other cybersecurity issues. And they need to have workflow enabled just like the big guys do. Their customers expect that, and they're going to do business with them if they can be more digital. So absolutely, there's a huge opportunity here, I think, for channel partners, because mostly it's channel partners that are supporting SMB customers. We also have a business inside of Xerox called XBS or Xerox Business Solutions that also focuses on the SMB market as well. But we're never, there are tens of millions, hundreds of millions of SMB customers, just in the US, let alone around the world. So you need channel partners. And you know, our approach here is to enable our channel partners, one, to sign the right channel partners up that have the right capabilities and the right reach, and are in a position to add value to the whole ecosystem of the solutions that we're trying to bring to the market. So some channel partners are great with high volume, small printers. They focus on like A4 printers, they sell a lot of them, and we have partners like that. On the opposite end of that spectrum is a solution provider that is very steep in workflow automation, software, collaboration, content management, and then you have everything, you know, in between. But it's very clear that we have to do our part as a manufacturer, as an OEM, to enable our channel partners. We have to train them. We have to support them. We have to communicate very well with them. We have to help them with marketing, either enable their marketing, giving them like an event in a box so that they can put on their own events, whether it's a webinar or an in-person venue, or we need to create those types of events and allow them to bring their customers to the event so that we can train and educate the market. What you'll see from Xerox is that we will continue to make more and more of our portfolio available to our channel partners. So one of the things we're doing right now is we're piloting just in the US, some of our IT solutions, whether that's, you know, IT services like laptops with some service around it, or even moving up the stack around servers and networking and security solutions for SMB customers. We've been doing that direct. But we're going to start a pilot with certain partners in the US to see if that would work for us to extend that portfolio to them and for them to bring that to their SMB customers. And if that works, we would launch that on a larger scale as well.
Okay, well, that's really interesting. So really bringing those IT services capabilities to your channel partners for the SMB space. Okay, so the other thing you touched upon was the sensors and the opportunities around our workplace. And I was interested to know whether, given that your role is responsible for global document services, whether you're seeing more demand for your customers or whether you're offering expanded services around evaluating the full kind of smart building kind of area in terms of understanding environmental impact, sustainability, and, you know, obviously with the sensors and identifying particular opportunities for reducing energy usage and so on. So I'm just curious on that point.
Yeah, we actually in our Palo Alto Research Center have what I would say is early technology. So it's not ready to be commercialized yet, but it's all around clean tech. And with that, what we're trying to do is figure out how we can dramatically reduce the need for power to cool or heat an office building. Because it takes a lot of power to do that. And it's, of course, you know, doesn't help the environment as well when we're spending that much power trying to cool a data center in particular, but just an office building in general as well. So there is a major, you know, focus around that going on at Palo Alto Research Center. It's probably a few years out still, but we're starting to work with people in the industry that have different expertise in building and building management and putting that together.
Yeah, I think sustainability is definitely moving higher on the agenda. So I think, you know, having those capabilities is particularly going to be very interesting for larger enterprises who are looking to, you know, improve the whole sustainability of that smart building infrastructure.
Absolutely. And we have things today that are here and now, around, you know, partnering with Print Relief to plant trees for so many pages that are printed. We do that in our managed print services contracts today. We have a tool called the print awareness tool is what it's called, PAT, as we refer to it, that gives information to a user in a company about how much they're printing. And are they having the right behaviors? Are they printing duplex on both sides of the page? Are they printing more volume than others in similar jobs? So this print awareness tool educates the user, all for the purpose of sustainability. And in fact, the tool has, it's like a gamification that has a flower. And the more you print, leaves fall off each month of the flower. And your goal is to not have leaves fall off as much as the month prior, you know, as an example. So there's all of that. Of course, there's recycling and taking back of toner cartridges, making sure that we dispose them in an environmentally friendly way. So there's a lot that goes into sustainability, even how we manufacture the products, how we package the products, how we ship the products, all of that. And I think we have a really good story to tell. And I think you're right. Customers really do care about this. There's a lot of customers that have plans to, you know, eliminate their greenhouse effects and emissions in 20 years or what have you. And we want to support that the best we can.
Yeah, like you say, sustainability is, you know, it's a full life cycle approach. It touches on so many different areas. So in terms of, you know, particular, we touched on sort of SMB versus large enterprises, but are you seeing any particular demands from different vertical markets, and how has Xerox perhaps helped digital transformation in certain vertical industry sectors? Get some examples.
Yeah, sure. I think that, you know, what we do is we have great solutions for the entire environment of all industries, right? So we have great things like, you know, we have great printers and multifunction devices. We have great services that wrap around that called intelligent workplace services. In the industry, it's called managed print services. We have all kinds of content management and digitization capabilities. And we have solutions that help our customers communicate with their customers using that content and using high volume production printing devices and tools like XMPie and FreeFlow to automate that communication and personalize that communication. So this is what we do. Now, when you get into a specific industry, that industry, let's take healthcare as an example. Healthcare organizations, hospitals, as one part of healthcare, needs all of those things. But they need it with specifics around their industry. So for managed print services, as an example, it's about designing the hospital and you know, medical offices or rehabilitation kind of care. It's about understanding nursing stations and about patient admissions and when people are first coming into the medical facility. In the US, we have something called HIPAA compliance. This is around patients' privacy, right? So you can't print something on a printer and just leave it there, because if it's a patient record, somebody else could see that. And then you're violating the privacy. You can have huge fines. So when we're designing our intelligent workplace services or managed print services for a hospital, we're thinking about the types of devices that need to be at a nursing station versus other parts of the hospital. We're thinking about security solutions, but we're also thinking about the patient as they first walk in around patient admissions. I've been to many medical facilities just here in the US where you walk in and they say, can we take a picture of your insurance card and your license? They put it on a photocopier and they copy it. That's an analog process. So let's make that digital. Let's make the whole patient admissions automated and have that information feed into all of your electronic medical records. Once we do that, getting access to those medical records, I have a really good example here. It's actually one in your country, Luella, Bedford Hospital. Are you familiar with them? As part of the
Imperial College? I know the area, but I don't know the hospital.
Okay, so Bedford Hospital is a 400-bed site that's part of Bedfordshire Hospitals, which is part of the NHS Foundation. So they have 400 beds. They have 240 million pieces of paper in hundreds of thousands of patient records. We worked with them, as we did with the larger Imperial College of NHS, to automate all of those paper records, digitize them all, get them into the right repository, matching with their Cerner environment, their Cerner house, and then having the clinicians and the doctors and the nurses be able to pull up that electronic medical record in a very quick and easy to view format that has handwritten notes on it, as well as, you know, structured data and content as well. We then help them with patient discharge. So as the patient is leaving, what meds are they supposed to be on? Are they taking it with food? Is it three times a day? All of that information in an easy way to communicate to them. And then we follow up with solutions like patient reminder notifications, right? When are you supposed to come in for your follow-up visit? And all of that is customized and individualized to that patient based on their records and their prognosis. So this is, when I think about managed print services and capture and content and digitization services and solutions like communications, this is what a hospital system would need from us. I could, and we don't have time for it today, but I could give you examples in law firms, in banks, in retailers, in insurance agencies of how we've taken this entire portfolio and made it applicable to a specific industry. And to your question, the reason I gave you Bedford Hospital, you have Bedford Hospital, 400 beds, and then you have the Imperial College, thousands of beds. They both have similar things, right? Patients are entering. Mm-hmm. And you need access to the health records. So I would say that small and large customers all have needs for these types of solutions. And this is, again, where channel partners can play a very, very important role for our customers.
Yeah, no, and I think that really shows how MPS is really critical to is that foundation level of digital transformation like that. And you've explained how every interaction with the customer or the patient in that example is digitized. And I think that's what, you know, really gives this business process automation efficiency over the whole kind
exactly. of customer. Exactly. And, you know, and you just kind of jogged my memory on something that I'll share with you as well. Managed print services is foundational. I agree with what you said. Let me give you an example. The U.S. Department of Agriculture. So very big organization in the U.S. government, making sure our food is safe and certifications and all of that. We won a deal 5 years ago with the USDA, a very, very large 10-year managed print services deal, replacing the competitor. And what we did was we put in thousands of multifunction devices and single function printers throughout the USDA. And this was really what they called their MPS 1. We recently have embarked with them on MPS 2, Managed Print Services 2. Again, we call it Intelligent Workplace Services, but customers will call it, you know, their own name. They're calling it Managed Print Services 2. And in this environment, what we are installing and what we sold to them, and they're paying for this, is apps, which is another, I'm so excited about apps because, 5 years ago, the multifunction device did four things. It print, it scanned, it copied, it faxed. And that's why we called it multifunction, because it did those four things. Now with Xerox ConnectKey technology, we have almost 100 other things we can do with these devices in addition to those four. And as an example, the USDA just purchased from us let me get it right. I want to make sure I do. Yeah, here it is. Office. So it's the app for our Office 365 and OneDrive and mobile print. So now what they've deployed to more than 30,000 employees is the ability for an employee to walk up to the machine, authenticate with their card, which gets them into the building, bring up their name and their content, press on the OneDrive as an example app, and they get all of their content. They can print it, or they can do other things with it. They can sign a document if they need to. They can translate a document into another language. They can take that document and let's say they're going to get on a train and they want to listen to it, translate it into an MP3 or an MP4 file, all kinds of exciting things. So apps are really important. And again, here, USDA is like an enterprise customer. They're big, but small customers are buying apps from us as well. And it's another thing channel partners, you know, really could differentiate themselves on.
Yeah, no, that's what I think. The whole app ecosystem is really interesting in the print industry, because, you know, I've been also in the print industry. It's nearly 30 years this year. And I've been following the ConnectKey, kind of the evolution of that platform. And I think at the beginning, it was almost ahead of its time, you know, in terms of its capabilities and the receptiveness of, you know, customers to use that. But I think as now, it's definitely ahead of, you know, a lot of the other the kind of ecosystems we see in this space. And now, you know, going back to your points around the consumerization of IT and how, you know, businesses are working in the same, or they expect the same applications and to be able to interact with their devices the same way they do with their consumer devices. I think, you know, ConnectKey has been really critical to that. So, you know, That's great to hear that it's actually being deployed in that way in that customer.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And lots of customers like it. But that's one example that I got USDA's approval to share that with you.
Okay,
and
no,
because I knew we were going to be talking today and it might come up. So, yeah.
It's really great to hear that. And I think, you know, if we maybe circle back to the innovation side, you know, you touched on some of the areas like clean tech. And, you know, I just thought, you know, I know we've talked in the past about IoT and also the care AR apps, so maybe you could just give a bit of detail of those and, you know, where they are in terms of development and deployments.
Yeah, so, and we also have 3D that I would like to tell you about as well, but on IoT, let me, so one of the things that we're doing, so first of all, with the Internet of Things and that capability, which we're matching that up with our ability to visualize things. So as a copier heritage, you know, putting documents on a piece of glass and taking a photo of it and having that fidelity come through on the other end is something that we have a lot of experience in. So using cameras and other technologies is something that, you know, we know a lot about. So one of the projects that we're working on that's probably more advanced, but again, is not ready for commercialization, is the IoT work we're doing and sensor work that we're doing with the US government, the Department of Defense, and their research arm called DARPA is the acronym that they use. And what we're doing is we're studying the oceans with them. The oceans are about 70% of the earth, and we know very little about them. So we know very little about, you know, the maritime, and I'm just going to look here at some notes on some things that are really interesting here. So what we're doing, first of all, what we're doing is we're deploying low-cost drifters in the ocean to collect information on maritime traffic, environment, and human impact. And this includes things like the sea surface temperature, the sea state, surface activities, and even information on marine life moving around through the area. So this data eventually can be used to have significant impact in a variety of areas, including transportation routes, aqua farming, coastal security, and the cleanup of oceans, which is a major problem on the earth that we know as well. So that's one of the things that we're doing with IoT. I think the clean tech capability that we're doing as well also plays into sustainability and using Internet of Things to understand, again, how people are moving around in an office and when things should be cooled or heated, et cetera. So a lot of interesting things happening, and that's happening in the US. We're doing another project that I don't have as much information on right at my fingertips with the government in Australia as well around IoT and sensors. The 3D one is really interesting. You may remember, gosh, it was probably about 2 years ago, roughly, that we bought Vader Systems. It was a 3D company. They had not had a product built to market yet. So they were a pre-revenue acquisition that we did. And, but we really liked the technology. And the technology is one that offers, I think, some differentiation in the 3D market, because this is a liquid metal 3D printer. So it's different than using powder. So it uses, this liquid metal, which is lower cost, but highly effective. And we're doing some interesting things with this. We actually have installed our first product. It's called the Alem X product. So we put the X at the end for this one. It's the first time I've seen us do that, but it's called the Alem X. It's our 3D printer. We have the first one installed at the post-Navy graduate academy in where are they? They're in Monterey, California. And the capabilities here, or the possibilities of what we can do in building parts for ships. Mm-hmm. Think about the Navy at sea needing a part to be able to build that on the ship. The ability for airliners to build parts right at the airport where the plane is if they need a part. Think about how we can upset supply chains, the cost of supply chains, trying to fly parts in. You can build, you know, these kind of parts that are that work extremely well right there on the spot in a very short amount of time. So that is very exciting, and that's something that we're doing as well. And we'll see a lot more information coming about that from our innovation.
Yeah, no, I remember actually seeing that demoed at the analyst event a couple of years ago. So it's great to see that come to fruition, you know, commercialized.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen it since then, go on YouTube, just, you know, Google it and put it on YouTube, and you'll see some great videos around how it looks now and some of the applications that we're working on.
What do you think is coming next, and how do you think channel partners should adapt in order to exploit these opportunities that we've discussed today?
Yeah, so the first thing I would say is that, you know, print is still really important. People will print less. People have been printing less for a long time now, and that's going to continue. It got dramatically impacted by the pandemic, but it will come back and people will print, and print is important. And we do that we're very proud of our print devices, our print technologies, and everything that we do around, the printer. But there's so much more, you know, that we are doing and that our channel partners should be doing, and the industry, you know, needs to continue to do as well. And that's really moving up the value chain and making sure that we are providing these apps, that we're providing tools for content and better collaboration, that we have rock solid benchmark security, that we're utilizing the cloud to reduce the impact on a small business, especially their ability to install some of these solutions. We're helping them communicate and drive revenue through really great communications, whether that's marketing or transactional print through bills and cross-selling of different lines of business that the company may have. And it's about leveraging all of this workplace capability that we have into other areas. IT services is one, but things like RPA is another, you know, having the ability to take repetitive tasks and to automate them through robotics is something we've done internally at Xerox. And now we're bringing that to customers. Many SMBs, a couple of big enterprise customers have also come to us, and we are deploying bots with them as well. And then further diversification from there, the things we talked about, 3D printing or clean tech or IoT and sensors, artificial intelligence, you know, there's other things that we can take this base that we have and leverage that into other solutions that customers really need. Software, you know, is going to be big. We'll develop some of this at Park. We'll buy companies like CareAR. We've actually created a venture capital fund and funded $250 million into this venture capital fund to look for smart acquisitions that can accelerate our time to market and really deliver solutions that customers are looking for. So yeah, we have to reinvent ourselves like every industry does. Yeah. But I'm really excited about where it's going.
So thank you, Mike. It's been a great conversation. Thank you again for joining me today. We touched on so many topics around cloud security, the smart connected workplace, and opportunities for the channel. So I just really wanted to end on a more lighthearted note around, once lockdown measures are relaxed and it's safe to do so, where would be the first place you plan to travel to?
I mean, I'm here in New York City, so we have incredible restaurants and Broadway shows and nightlife that's all been on hold. I can't wait to just do that. But as far as travel goes, so my favorite place on earth is Mykonos in the Greek Isles. I absolutely highly recommend it to everyone. I think it's incredible weather, people, food, wine, beach, everything you'd possibly want. Great little boutique hotels. And it's just really, it's a lot of fun. I've been there probably about 8 times in my life. Haven't been in a couple of years, and I'm looking forward to going back and unwinding there when all of this is over.
Yeah, well, hopefully it won't be too long for that. So, Well, thanks ever so much again, Mike. It's always great talking to you, and I really appreciate
you
joining us today. Thank you.
My pleasure, Luella. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
For more information on the podcast series, please visit quocirca.com. And also you can sign up to our newsletter to get information on when we release future podcasts. So thank you again, and I look forward to seeing you on our next podcast.